Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Adam lives in his blanket, as one would in these dark, cold, wet times. And as always, I'm sorry to hear about furry YouTubers.
Nothing happened to them. I'm just sorry to hear about them.
It just keeps happening. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we are Southpaws. And Shiva's not here this week. Her household has the plague. They partied a bit too hard on New Year's Eve, I guess. Maybe there was a patient zero at your party, Fuzz.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I'm okay.
Yeah, I think it would have showed up by now if I was sick, so.
Yeah, you had like 30 people there.
Yeah, I didn't even bother counting this year.
I didn't count, but I'm guessing, because there was a lot of people.
There was a lot of people, between 30 and 40. Tiern and I were really lax on the inviting this year. Like, it was like, I want to say December 27th. It was after I got home from Florida before I actually started sending out invites for a party on the 31st.
Oh.
So, of course, like, four people were like, yeah, we already have plans. Sorry.
Well, I mean, people just expect it.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I think that's the only reason why we have as good a turnout as we do is that we've been doing this, with the exception of a couple of years, we've been doing it since I moved out here in 05.
Yeah.
And certainly every year that we've had the house, and we've lived in the house like 6 years now. So
obviously it is now 2019.
Yes.
We have survived 2018.
January 3rd or 4th?
3rd.
3rd?
And
okay. Yeah.
We've survived quite the month. You know,
it's the third.
Well, oh, December.
Oh, you mean, okay, yeah, all right.
We haven't recorded in like a month.
I thought you meant this month. I was like, Jesus, it's only January 3rd.
Well, you know,
it's like hell of a week. It's Tuesday, Lemon.
Exactly. No, we've barely survived January yet, but we've survived December.
Which yes, yes.
For certain parts, seemed a bit touch and go, at least for my family.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the last recording we did, I'd mentioned my dad had had his back surgery and it went okay.
Right.
Since then, things have changed.
Okay, so we should say your dad is still alive?
My dad is still alive, yes.
So don't bury that lead.
He's like, oh, since then things have changed and now I have no parents. No, nothing like that. My dad had surgery, but he had complications. So, like, he's been in the hospital since before Christmas and is still in the hospital. Because they had to, like, go in, do two more surgeries. They had to do all this extra bullshit. Now he's going to be in long-term wound care for a while. And so that's really fucking rough. I've been dealing with that and driving out to Fort Worth, seeing my dad in the hospital and stuff. But then also in the midst of that, they had their trailer stolen, which had all their business.
Like, if anybody, all their business.
Yeah. 20 grand of merchandise plus all their tools, a bunch of displays, all this, a honestly bafflingly large amount of stuff that they had accrued over 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
In terms of their business. So it's like, oh, it's all gone.
And like those trailers to buy are like $5,000-$6,000 yep. easy, you know, and then you add in not just considered retail value, but just the material value of all the stock, plus all the equipment, all the display racks and stuff like that. I mean, that shit adds up.
So we've set up a GoFundMe for my dad, and just to help them get back on their feet in terms of like the medical cost as well as the business trying to get that back going.
Yeah.
They actually did luck out. They did recover the trailer.
Yeah.
It's a bit banged up. All the shit inside's gone. So they still lost all their merchandise and tools, but they have the physical trailer. So that's one less thing that they're going to have to rebuy. Needless to say, this past month that we've not recorded has been very unpleasant in many ways.
Yeah, really sorry about that. Blows.
The Christmas holiday was okay. Like, I spent Christmas Eve in the hospital with my dad.
Right.
And, you know, I brought them some fudge after we did that. You know, New Year's Eve, I was there like the 30th. And hung out with him a bit. You know, so I've been driving out to Fort Worth seeing my dad as best I can.
Yeah.
But it's just been, oh my God, so much going on for them. It's been, they went from having like, oh, my dad had surgery, it's going to be a rough couple months, to congratulations, it's the hell quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, like, me personally, like, aside from dealing with all the bad brain that comes from dealing with all this family stuff, my health has been fine. It's actually an okay month. I've played video games and haven't gotten suspended off of anything.
Right.
So that's good. You know, you got to go do some cool shit. You went and saw your niece in Florida.
Yep. So, yeah, our December started with Midwest Fur Fest. So those guys had a busy time up there. And then we got around to Christmas, and I went out there for 4 days, I think it was. And what was kind of cool was, like, so last time I was out there, she was watching Paw Patrol and Top Wing. And this time the new obsession is a video that was super popular. Like, it launched like 2 years ago on YouTube. It's from Korea, called Baby Shark. And they've done, like, it has 2 billion views on YouTube. So
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that people just play over and over. And they've done, like, a whole series. The same group has done, is called Pink Fong, and their icon is a little pink fox.
That's cute.
And they've done, like, 10 songs, and they did a Christmas version called Christmas Shark. And now, seeing that she was into that, this was on Monday or Sunday. But anyway, I was able to log on to Amazon and order her, like, 2 Baby Shark books that they had in stock. And it was like, if you order in the next 57 minutes, these will be delivered on 12/24. So I actually went out there. I was like, oh, niece is into this thing that she wasn't into last time I visited. Orders. And, like, one of the things is this book that has, like, a little speaker thing built into it and little buttons.
Oh.
And you can play all 10 of the songs. And I was partially concerned that this might drive my sister completely up the wall, because Baby Shark is this insanely catchy, very twee little song. But it's keeping her occupied, and she loves it, apparently. So I'm very happy about that. Google Baby Shark. It's very cute, and it will stick in your head for fucking days.
Hey, that's it. Sometimes it's better than some of the stuff that sticks in your head. I had that one Christmas song, like, coming down, waiting for the man with the bag, I think it is. It's like, it was stuck in my head, but it was only like the chorus part where, like, he's doing the nonsense rhyming, and I'm like, ah, brain, stop it.
I hate that when you get something stuck in your head and it's not even something that you like.
Yeah. Or then it's like, oh, okay, we're going to play the chorus of this song from Ruby. You're going to enjoy the Red Like Roses chorus for a day. And it's like, why? Why do you do this to me? That's cool. That's cute. I mean, yeah. Your niece is going to just probably grow up to be a furry. She doesn't have much choice in this matter.
I'm honestly not trying to influence her. It's just that, honestly, so much children's program is animal-centric.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Paw Patrol, and they haven't even covered police brutality.
Right. And, I mean, speaking of animals, one of her favorite places to go is the zoo.
Yeah.
So we went to the zoo while I was there, and, like, we walked around for, like, 2 hours, and, you know, got pictures of her looking at the giraffes and stuff like that. You know, the petting zoo portion was closed, unfortunately. She's probably still a little too young for that.
Yeah, she's not, like, not even yet 2, isn't she?
Yeah, she's 16 months.
Okay, so she's mobile,
a year and a half.
But she's
actually walking really well now. Like, and this just kind of picked up, like, while I was there. Like, she'd been wobbly stumbling the day before I arrived. And then the day I got there, she's just, like, zoom.
Cool.
Yeah.
She got her feet under her. Now, of course, she's going to, like, zoom into a wall and crash occasionally, but, you know.
Yeah, and there were a couple of, you know, when she falls down inside, it's not so bad because you're on the floor inside the house. But, you know, she did bang up her little knuckles when she fell outside when we were walking around the porch and everything. You know, it's going to happen.
She's a baby. They heal quick.
But she's actually, like, they look wobbly, but she's surprisingly, like, pretty well balanced, you know, and, like, would stumble and be able to catch herself and stuff like that. Like, she's not falling as much as I would expect someone who'd been walking for, like, 3 days, You know, so yeah, that was really something. She wasn't doing that last time I was here. Yeah. Last time she was in her little rocking bassinet things watching Paw Patrol. Now she's like actually like walking around and stuff like that.
Just give her time and she'll be posting detailed critiques to YouTube about which one is her favorite. Just look forward to the day where she gets into fights on Twitter.com about which dog is the best.
Fucking MLP reaction videos something. And then I was going to say, I flew home on Christmas Day, which was actually really pleasant because I flew out the Friday before Christmas, and that was the longest I'd ever seen the security line. Flying back on Christmas Day, fucking nobody. It was quiet because everyone's already got where they're going on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, but I did not now, have.
If you'd flown back on the 26th, you would have had a bad time.
Right. And I did not have the 26th off of work, so I had to fly home on the 25th, which was fine. I got home at like 9:30 at night and you picked me up. And, you know, I opened presents and I got a bunch of books and I was very happy. So anyway, moving on.
Well, speaking of ponies and the like, you know, we do have that HarmonyCon coming up.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's here. February, first week of February, like the 8th, 10th, I think it is.
Yeah. Is it really February? Yeah, it's the week. Right. It's the week before Con DFW, I think.
Yeah, which we'll be doing as well. Yeah. Well, I say we, you're not coming to HarmonyCon. Right. I'm going to be there because I'm going to be running the booth for my parents.
Right.
Because my mom will probably want me to just do it as opposed to her going back and forth between Dallas and Fort Worth and seeing my dad in the hospital. So I'm probably just going to do it myself.
So you probably run out there on Wednesday or Thursday, pick up as much stock from them as possible.
And then just run what I can, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you got their Square account.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've run a table for a con at them. It's just going to be interesting to be like, oh, hey, it's you. And I'm like, oh, I'm just this dude. I'm here selling jewelry. You want to buy some jewelry, guys? I'm not anybody until like I go and schmooze with the guests that they have.
Yeah. And be like, hey, and I've got my hardcore pony pornography under here.
Yeah, check out this really great pic of Derpy that I totally printed out from another artist. No. But yeah, it's like February, actually, we're going to have a couple of things because we're going to do the Con DFW thing. We're going to try to get in there.
Yeah.
Where
shouldn't be a problem. I went like 2 or 3 years ago and it was like 3 days before the con and their website did not say that their dealer's den was sold out.
So I added
them on Twitter and I was like, hey, so do you guys have any dealer spaces left? It's like, yes, would you like to go to be a dealer? And I basically arranged buying a dealer's table via Twitter.
Hey, it works. You know, we have to deal with our parents and take over and do stuff for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With both my parents being in poor health, I'm getting to basically take over a chunk of their business in a weird way.
Yeah. Because,
like, when it comes to Weatherford in February, which I think is the first weekend. So, actually, it looks like the first three weekends of February are going to be very busy for me.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to be in Weatherford because I'm not going to drive from Dallas to Weatherford and back. Fuck that. That's 70 miles one way.
Yeah.
So I'll be out in Weatherford for that weekend. Then I'll be here in Dallas for HarmonyCon.
Yeah.
And then I'll be out in Fort Worth with you for Con DFW. Wow. February's looking really busy. That's actually kind of exciting in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I need to plan for these things.
Well, maybe I'll swing by HarmonyCon and like, we could like go grab a dinner or something like that.
Well, I mean, depending on the business, I'll be sleeping here at home.
Oh, right.
Like I might take an Uber to the con and back because it's or get Panther to drive me, or, you know, because I don't feel like paying $18 or whatever to park.
Yeah. Has it really gone up to that much?
I don't know. Like it's gone up. It's significant.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like gates now. It's. They're just being greedy fuckers, and I'm glad I'm not dealing with them anymore.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while since I've been to that hotel.
It'll be really interesting to see how that goes, too, because it's the first year con, and we had a few of my dudes consulting, but we'll see.
Yeah. We wish them the best of luck.
Yes, because I hope they do well, because
I haven't heard any rumors about them being utterly shitty people or anything. So,
yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, that's here in town, and I don't have to go very far, and I'll make some money for my parents, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe sell off a couple of my plush that I have here. Who knows?
Because how many derpy do you really need?
You know.
What is the face hugger plush? Is that new?
It's a face hugger plush.
I hadn't seen that before.
When we were clearing out my sister's
her storage
thing, yeah. she had gotten a, like, 6-month gift subscription to... Geek Box or whatever.
Is it Loot Crate?
Loot Crate, yeah.
Yeah.
The nerd shit box that's just like, yeah, we got a million of these fuckers in a warehouse somewhere. Let's pawn them off on nerds.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So she gave me that to give to Panther, and Panther was like, I don't want this. Like, but you love the Aliens films! And he's like, no, I don't. I don't want that. Yeah, so
it is kind of cute.
It is cute, but it's just there on the little plush rack. Because, yeah, we're recording at my place tonight because Shiva, again, is sick, and I didn't feel like taking just the mic and my laptop over to your place was.
Yeah.
So we are now in my gamer den, which isn't really gamer. It's more furry.
It's a furry brony den.
Yeah.
That's just super furry.
It's super furry because, you know, I've got the Fur Planet display posters behind you and various things. Like, the only gaming-related thing
Pokemon.
Is that... Well, no, is the Game Over Tinies thing on the wall there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then, of course, right there on the table, being weighed down, I got my two posters from Liz Zombie's Best in Show.
Oh, yeah.
The J-Bone dog lady and then the thank you poster. So
I got the thank you poster. And then, like, a week later, the rest of the pack.
Right. So, yeah, actually, that's something cool. That was sort of it's a long-term gift that you buy yourself, and then you forget about it.
That's basically what Kickstarter is.
Yeah, so... She kickstarted it with a bunch of folks.
Past me.
And it's the Best in Show, and it's all dog ladies. There is the main version, and then there was the After Bark, which is like the nude versions of a lot of the other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I got, like, I bought the high-tier one, like, the last high-tier one they had. It comes with, like, two posters and a keychain and all their stuff. But it was just, like, I like all these artists, and it was one of the last adult things that they'd run on Tumblr. Like, we'll get to Tumblr in a minute, but it was just this long-term art thing that had a bunch of artists that I had seen before, and it came together really nicely. I'll have to reach behind me and grab it, because it's currently resting on my keyboard tray.
Right. Wipe it off. Yeah, I've received mine, but I have not actually even flipped through it yet.
It's quite nice. Like, I got the little dog girl... keychain from I think Slugbox. The art, the book itself is actually really high quality. It feels like the paper is nice and glossy, pretty heavy weight. The you know, it's a perfect bound hardcover.
Am I missing a page here?
No, it's just really thick.
Yeah, it's
and
a
then
thick
the
paper shop.
After Bark version is a soft cover, but also perfect bound.
I fucking infected you, dude, with talking about the binding and the paper quality and everything.
Well, yeah, kinda, because you know we deal with. The books that Fur Planet sells.
Ooh, that's a nice butt.
It is. And the adult version is nice, too. It's in the other book. So it's like, you know, pick up a book and judge it by its cover and its physical
cover.
And its binding and its paperweight.
Yes.
You know, because there's been a couple things where you get it and it's like, oh, this paper feels terrible. It feels like newspaper or like manga print.
And then you look at your hand and it's black because the newsprint is coming off of your.
But that was actually a thing that I was really happy to come in.
Ooh.
And like additionally, because I got the high tier one, it's a bunch of like, here's the wallpaper versions and phone wallpaper versions.
And your name is in the
credits.
Yeah.
Okay, you haven't gotten to the one there, but the J-Bone one where it's like the Aussie Shep girl with the bikini. Like, I made that, like, the clothed version, that one right there on the left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a nice one.
That's the poster I got.
Oh,
I made it my phone wallpaper.
Oh,
but then when you
and then you have the unlock and her
so
clothes
like her
vanish.
Clothes go, whoop.
Yep.
I thought that
worked really well. Like, it lined up perfectly on your phone.
And then I realized I was going to be somewhere and had to change my phone wallpapers. So I was like, oh, yeah, I can't have naked ladies, even if they're furries, if I might be seen in public.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to the hospital for my dad. Yeah.
Right.
And I was going to be around, like, family members and the like. So I was like, yeah, I don't want to have them go, oh, that's an interesting wallpaper. What's that? My nosy ass extended family.
And it's a hot corgi lady.
She's like a Australian wild dog. Yeah. Ooh. And her bone. So I was really happy to receive that. Liz Zombie does good stuff. It was like best in show on Twitter. You can look it up. I don't think you can get them after the fact now, but I'm sure that if they wanted to, they could get reprints done through some company.
Yeah, maybe. And I know the Furry Fashion Collective did like a second print run of their first volume. That's really, I like her.
Yeah. I also think like, I like how there is a couple of the less, like that one's a Pokemon right there. The one on the left there.
Oh, okay.
But
I wouldn't know that to look.
But the one on the left page, the back one is like a Chinese crested. So they did a couple of the less common dogs as the type of characters. It was a nice buy, and I did not mind getting the top tier version of it because I rarely do that for myself.
So speaking of furry Kickstarters, so there was a photographer in Britain that had done a, he'd had to take, I think it initially started because he took some photos of furries for a magazine article on the community, and had found it really interesting. So he ended up doing a whole photography series called At Home with the Furries. And it's basically furries in their fursuits doing at home, doing ordinary everyday things like mowing the lawn, vacuuming, watching TV, playing cards with their mate, stuff like that. And so it's like one of these photography collection books that you see. And so he did it on Kickstarter. And I did the high tier backing of it. So he hit a stretch goal, which allowed it to get hardcover, and it's bound in this like fuzzy velvety material. But then the additional level on that was it's in this furry slipcase that is basic. It is neon rainbow plush fur with a big plush paw pad in the middle.
That's
and
very
the
furry.
Book slides right into it, and like Ajax looked at it and goes like, wow, this is like a furry Bible. And what made me think of this, in addition to talking about Kickstarter, was there was some talk on Twitter today about all the various holy books that the new members of Congress are being sworn in under, you know, because we have a Muslim and a sick person and a bunch of other people.
A couple of atheists using the Constitution.
Yeah. And so someone had posed the question, if you were a member of Congress, what book would you want to be sworn in on? And I thought, that fucking furry book, man. You're like, put your hand on the paw and say, I solemnly swear.
I swear to gay lion Jesus.
I fuzz wolf solemnly swear to uphold the furry constitution.
Nice. And then, of course, you mentioned the fursuit photography. Mm-hmm. I forget what the name of the account is, but it's this fursuit photography account where they just put fursuits in unsettling looking photos.
What?
Where it's like, it's just a fursuiter standing, but like they're at the end of a dark hallway in an abandoned building.
I have not seen this.
There was one that was
sounds
like,
amazing.
Where it was like a person scrambling towards the camera, and then behind them in the darkness is a fursuiter silhouetted in the doorframe. There's one where it's like, oh, I think there's something in the hallway. Just use your flash. We'll take a look later. And like, it was, again, a fursuiter is kind of poking its head from around the
like
corner.
Like hyper-illuminated with the flash.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be one of those, like, they, you know, you add the faux glow effect on the eyes.
Right, yeah.
That would be hilarious. The unsettling fursuit photography, that's a hell of a genre.
That is funny as hell. I'd never heard of that. That's
and
funny.
It's just like, oh, we're going to put a fursuiter in an abandoned building and have him, like, poke his nose around the corner. Wanna play?
Oh, man. I'm just thinking, like, there's two fursuiters chained up and with the chain around their feet, and like the fursuita saw.
Oh, God.
They're like, you know, we can just slip out of the fursuit, right?
No. Like, it's secured to the foot paw, not your foot. I can't ruin the magic.
That's the challenge. Oh. You can only live if you ruin the magic. And the cage is getting smaller and smaller.
So shifting the topic slightly to Tumblr, I finally killed mine today. I just said fuck it and deleted it in a fit of pique. Their algorithm decided to go back through people's blogs and flag a bunch of random shit today.
Yeah.
And that included, like, Safer Work comics, that included screenshots from Final Fantasy XIV, and every single one of my progress pics that I'd ever taken and posted. Because my big old meaty man nipples were simply too much. They're not female presenting nipples. How do you know? Like, I present fairly masculine, I'll have you know. But I just said, you know what? I'm not going to play. This website is dead to me. That's the thing, is like when they banned the porn,
yeah,
this is something that's happened during their hiatus when we were on break.
Yeah.
So like they banned all the porn off of Tumblr, which means I have no reason to go to Tumblr anymore because I'm not going to like discourse with the fandoms on there.
I think that they did that right before our last episode before break, because I remember talking about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Time is weird. I don't know.
It is, yeah.
But basically,
time is a hologram.
It's a flat circle. Reality is the hologram. Get it right. The moon is a hologram.
You're a hologram. You're right.
Deactivate Fuzzwolf. Yeah, so like my feed had obviously gotten very thin. And then with them
because warning, of the progress pictures.
Yeah. But then just them deciding, hey, your meaty man nips showing your weight loss progress are just too much. Like, I clicked appeal, yeah. But then I was just like, you know what? There's really no point to using this website when, like, nobody that I followed is posting to it anymore beyond, hey, reminder, if you're still on this hell site, I'm over on Twitter and or for Affinity or whatever now.
Yeah.
It really sucks that they shot themselves in the foot like that. And, like, I don't know how precipitous the drop, or if it was really, you know, I know how I used it, and most of the furries used it for porn. Right. But there's people that use it just to post their shit and whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's still a large non-adult contingent, but I just don't have a reason to use it anymore.
Right. And I had stopped using it, like, a couple years ago, probably. Like, I hadn't looked at it in a long, long time. The only thing I had used it for was, like, I've got the blog for Planet on there, and I'd made a post to that not too long ago, but I haven't really looked at my personal blog in ages. Yeah. So
It's interesting because it has resulted in my Twitter feed becoming a lot pornier, and I followed a bunch more artists on FA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the net result is I still get about the same amount of stuff.
Right.
And, you know,
just from a different source.
Yeah. It just kind of sucks that I can't scroll down and be like, oh, here's the morning's fresh crop of pics, and I'll throw them in the chat. Because, you know, it's like, hey, here's a bunch of random stuff that I found that I liked that the chat will probably like. Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
But, you know, rest in fucking peace, Tumblr. What can you do?
Yeah.
You can be sad and rail against it.
Yeah, and I read this really depressing article the other day talking about you can delete your Facebook, but it won't really matter because, like, they've already got all your information, and your information's already been harvested from other sources, too. So, like, all your information's out there by companies being bought and sold.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Even if you delete your Facebook right now, it's not going to make a difference.
I mean, I've only used my Facebook to push the GoFundMe for my parents, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't post to it intentionally because I have no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm sure that they have as much information as they want from me. Yeah. And I'm sure Twitter has some real interesting ideas about what my interests are. You know, it's like, okay, this person likes communism, video games, and naked animal people. Sure. That they wouldn't be wrong, per se.
But, right, yeah.
You know.
Meanwhile, Pepsi is like, how the fuck do we market to this person?
What you need to do is you just say, hey, here's our mascot. Don't anthropomorphize it, please. And you'll get furries to draw you a bunch of porn.
Oh, my God. The the furry Twitter, the anthro Twitter bird is, like, I really love a lot of the takes on this character. Like, they're making her look really cute.
Yeah, because, like, it got posted, like, just a couple days ago.
I love the one sassy one that's like, hey, Tumblr, you okay over there?
Well, clearly not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all the artists had to retreat off of it.
Yep.
Let's see, Tweet Fur is the name of the character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just go to old E621, and there are...
You could just look at the hashtag on Twitter.
Well, no, I want to see the aggregated pornography of this character.
Oh, okay, without all the annoying people talking about it. Without
having to look about it on Twitter. So there's 33 images,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, the tags are like, Tweet Fur, Avian, Twitter, Meme, Bird, 2019.
Like, the first meme of 2019.
Is... looting the Twitter bird. I mean, all the avian furries are probably really happy because it's like, oh, hey.
There's a sudden flood of bird art. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and like, this bird has breasts, but not like nips. It's not lewd. It's shapely.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but that's a really nice bird by Bunnykins. Yeah. I'm not going to put a link in the show notes. You can go to E621 and find it yourself, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey, tell furries not to do this. Oh, what? Do you mean we should? We're totally going to do this thing. Well,
so I was looking at the hashtag, and I stumbled upon this tweet that was like, hey, guys, it says that there are rules that we shouldn't do this, so you guys should stop. And I replied to him, and I said, that is literally why they're doing it, is because it said that. And the rules like, Oh, well, in that case, good.
It's like, hey, don't do this thing. Did you mean do this thing immediately and hard?
Yep, because that's basically what furries did. Really cute dog people. You could put the little Best in Show tag on Adam.
Yeah, actually, I could.
Mm-hmm.
To make him even jinglier.
Yes.
Because he is constantly, when he's moving... he's jingling, but he's currently curled up in his blanket.
I always feel weird saying Adam's name on a podcast because that's his legal name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he should have a fursona.
Oh, God.
But we only refer to him by his fursona when we're recording.
Hmm. What sort of fursona would he would be? His fursona is a cat. Because it's more of his, it fits his more,
his personality
of sleeping 20 hours a day.
He's way too affectionate to be a cat, though.
You know.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's just a stereotype about cats. Well,
cats can be mean and unaffectionate, but who knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, Adam's persona is a cat. It's a reflection of his true self.
Fair enough.
You know how they say, like, foxes are cat hardware, dog heart, or...
cat software on dog hardware.
We just have cat software running on dog.
Yes.
Panther has sent me a message.
Psychically.
Secretly, Jack knew telling people not to anthropomorphize the logo would cause huge amounts of porn to be drawn. He is, right now, masturbating furiously at all art. Jack Dorsey deserves no orgasms.
Yeah.
He is bad, but he's getting free porn. Oh, God. So, in any event, it's been interesting times in the world. We're here, you know, surviving in 2019, and we're going back to the fucking, you know, in the world of politics, at least all of our new fuckers got into power today.
Yes.
Pushing out a bunch of the old fuckers.
So someone just posted to one of the Telegram groups that we're in a drawing of all the women Congress people, and the caption, a woman's place is in the House.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of the House of Representatives. So.
I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's day one of all that nonsense. You know, the new...
Everybody got sworn in, I guess. Sworn in,
and, you know...
They did some general housekeeping roll call type votes and such. All right,
look, we got to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, we're still dealing with the shutdown, and so...
Yeah.
That's fucking people up. And, you know, they're basically like, hey, you can go fuck yourself. Donald Trump, you are not getting any money for your wall. Fuck you. Which is nice for them to have some spine for once.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long he can draw this out. It sucks.
Yeah. Basically, with the way politics works, what'll happen is they will come to some kind of compromise that allows them to both claim victory.
Yep. He'll get $5 and some tinfoil, and he can...
Well, the thing is, like Mike Pence offered the Democrats, if you could do $2.5 million, and the Dems wouldn't budge. They're like, no fucking money for the wall. And today, Trump said, I don't know who told you that, but I wouldn't take $2.5 million. I want a billion. I want $5.6 billion, and you know, not a penny less. So, like Pence proposed something in the middle, and I guess he did it around Trump's back or something, because Trump seems to not want to go for that. And the thing that's really annoying is that, like, initially he was going to sign the first bill that went through, that was going to extend funding until like February 8th or 9th or something like that. And then he basically got a bunch of phone calls from
Fox News,
the really right wing people, both in Congress and commentators outside of Congress, complaining that there was no wall funding. So then he reversed course and said, no, I want the wall funding. It's like, and that's what he said on TV. I will proudly shut down the government, and I'm not going to blame you for it. Speaking to Chuck Schumer, the Democrat at the time. It's just irritating that it's like, because he watched fucking Fox News and some commentator probably complained about the wall not being funded, so he,
yeah,
that he bases his fucking decisions off of Twitter and Fox News. Well,
I
was
like, the image I talked about earlier tonight, so I injected 3 whole marijuanas, now I'm dead, where there was a Fox News Chiron thing that was like, legalizing marijuana, and it's a picture of someone like heating up some crack or whatever. Whatever drug you cook in a spoon to inject, I don't know which one that is.
Oh, that's heroin.
Heroin, sure, okay.
Yeah, so literally what you said, injected 3 whole marijuanas.
Yeah, and now I'm dead and gay. I'm a dead gay ghost.
And you should know it's heroin for the same reason I know it's heroin, because we watched Trainspotting.
Well, true. But I've slept since then.
Right, yeah.
A lot.
And I've, you haven't seen it like then, 8 times like I have or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, Pulp Fiction. Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of stuff I haven't seen. So
that's another heroin-related movie for the list.
Oh, you know. Get your drugs culture in. Well, that was like that one tweet that I put into the topics thing. You know, what's that massive hole in your pop culture cred that would lose you followers? And mm-hmm. mine was like, I've never seen a Terminator, Aliens, or Predator film to their finish.
So I noticed that, and I wanted to ask you about that. I was like, why not to completion? Was it just playing in the background, or you just started and really didn't like one of them?
Playing in the background, catching them in passing on televisions, like flipping channels and seeing part of it, but it's like set point random in the film that you don't know, so why would you continue watching?
Right.
So it's just like, I've never watched a movie, sat down to watch a movie like that in their entirety.
Okay.
Because it's just a matter of like, I haven't seen many movies, and like, Panther has the Aliens Mega Collection, I think, on DVD.
Mm-hmm. I've got that same one.
But
it's like when there was 4 movies, and it's like the quadrology.
And Panther has walked into the room and has delivered the Alien Triple Pack. That's the only 3 Alien movies that ever came out, Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3.
Right.
Predator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day in DVD.
Yep.
So it is not even for lack of not having the physical media. It's just a matter of not having sat down to do it.
Yep. And
And these are all like the extreme, like, collector edition ones.
They're almost as bad as Blade Runner. They all have multiple versions of it, especially the Alien films. Each of them have theatrical editions and director's cuts.
Yeah. Like, this one has the 16 minutes of additional scenes never seen in theaters. This is for Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
And has the 1080p transfer, which doesn't make sense because this is on a DVD that maxes out at 480, didn't it?
But it's an extreme DVD.
Ooh, it's an extreme DVD. Like, if it was on Blu-ray, sure.
That's basically what a Blu-ray is, right? It's an extreme DVD.
Recommended system requirements for DVD-ROM T2 high definition, Windows XP, 512 megabyte of RAM, 3 gigahertz processor, 128 megabyte 3D card, and a 24-bit 90 kilohertz multi-channel sound card, and at least a 56.6K modem.
Mm-hmm, to download that bonus content.
Also mouse, speaker, and headphones. God, these movies, that came out in 1991.
Yep.
Christ.
You're what, 8?
Yeah. Panther is in the room with us, but he is silent. Alien 3 has Paul McGann, he says.
Oh, I know. Yeah. What I really like about the Alien 3 director's cut is Paul McGann is in it a lot more. Like, his character had this whole backstory that 90% of it is trimmed out by the theatrical version.
Well, that's like the various versions of Blade Runner. iTunes was doing a sale during the sale time of the year.
Yeah.
And it was like, get the triple pack of Blade Runner, Blade Runner the Final Cut, and Blade Runner 2050, whatever. The
2049.
2049.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, that's not a triple pack. That's just two versions of the first film. Wait a second.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I bought Blade Runner on iTunes, because I bought it on DVD way back in the day when there was just like the one cut. It's the theatrical version. Uh-huh. So it predates all the subsequent reissues with the director cut and stuff like that. I think he even did one called like the Ultimate Edition or whatever.
Ultimate,
like,
Final, Mega, Ultra, EX, Plus,
this is like
Alpha,
seriously
Turbo
the
Edition.
Last fucking version we're doing of this movie. Really, for real this time. Wait, we've remastered it for 3D.
Yep. The spinners will pop out of your screen and land in your lap. You know, I have to say that, you know, we don't have the giant arcology because, I mean, doesn't the start of Blade Runner, isn't like January 19th or something like that at the start of the film?
Yeah, it's in 2019.
It's set in 2019, also set in 2019, Akira.
Mm-hmm.
I think Neon Genesis Evangelion starts pretty soon. Like, there's all this older media that's like in the year far future of 2019. Mm-hmm. It's yep. Like, oh no.
Because, of course, I mean, you know, nearly 4 years ago, we hit the point where Back to the Future 2 takes place.
Yeah. That was in 2015.
Right.
Let's see, because I'm actually popping up the Neon Genesis Evangelion thing where it's like what year it's set in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, plot. Oh, in 2015. Oh no. We are now living beyond the point of which the dark futures of our fiction take place. Oh no. Our future is just dumb.
In Terminator 1 and 2, Judgment Day, when the machines rise and launch all the
1999?
97.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're 20 years past that.
But then it gets changed around with subsequent ones. But that's okay, because Terminator 3, 4, and 5 will soon be irrelevant when Terminator 6 comes out, because
it's really Terminator 3 again.
It's, yeah, basically Cameron is like, all these other movies took place in an alternate timeline and my movie is a sequel to T2.
Hey, that works.
And it is cool that they got Linda Hamilton back in to play Sarah Connor. And they're also going to, and Arnie is going to be in it, but they're also doing things where, like, they have a kid who is like a body double of 1991 Edward Furlong, and they're going to put his 1991 face on this other kid's body. They're also going to put 1991 Arnie over Arnie's body double, which they've already done in the last couple Terminator movies, where like modern day Arnie would encounter the original T-800 from the first one. Like his 1984 face. And they did it by using the guy. There's a stunt man who's a body double for Arnie for many years. And they basically used his body and put Arnie's face via CG on there. And like the first time they did it, you could tell that like it wasn't going to be perfect and it cost a shitload of money, because the T-800 very quickly gets lit on fire and all the facial features are burned off, so they only have to do the Arnold Schwarzenegger look for a few seconds. But like that shit has been used a lot more recently. Like they did it with Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
yeah,
where he showed up as the younger version of himself in the prologue. And Tron, before that, they did it in Tron with Bruce Boxleitner playing Tron.
Yeah.
You know, as his young incarnation.
He fights for the user.
Yeah. But they're doing that more and more. Most recently, probably most well known is like young Leia and
yeah, definitely
Grand Moff Tarkin showing up in Rogue One.
Yep.
Because and like it was mostly pretty good. Leia worked really well, I think, because she was only in it for like 3 seconds. But when Tarkin showed up, I was like, wait, is that just someone that looks remarkably like Peter Cushing, or is that CG? And the more I looked at him, like, he didn't look quite right, you know? Yeah. I don't know. You've seen Rogue One, right? Yeah.
It had a bit of Uncanny Valley to it. That's the thing, is like, our technology has gotten far, far, far better than
Polar Express.
And Polar Express, because that was exactly what I was going to go to. Because I happened to, I think it was like the first or second time when my dad was having a surgery, it was on the TV in the waiting room.
I just saw a bunch of commercials for it.
And it over the holidays. I couldn't make any sense of it just from watching it and, you know, while waiting. And it had subtitles, but I wasn't paying that much attention. And it just was like the children and everything just looks so creepy.
Yeah.
All the, you know, making CG is easy when you're doing stylized creatures or toys or furries and not horrible nightmare children.
I just had a really weird thought.
Oh.
I was like, how cool would it be if you took, what are the name of the Dan Brown movies? The Vatican ones that Tom Hanks is in?
Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. What if you took the Da Vinci Code movie and you replaced Tom Hanks in it with his CGI Tom Hanks from Polar Express? Hilarious, but you know, you just pop him right in there, so all the other actors are like not even acting like this is weird at all, and it's this plastic looking train conductor guy.
At some point his programming breaks and he just T-poses.
You leave his dialogue the same.
he just T-poses around the mask. Oh god,
like just zooming around the Vatican in a T-pose.
But then, like, the next scene is and his shit's reloaded, so he has a run cycle now.
Right.
This is Tom Hanks.
But he's stuck in the run loop, so when he's standing there having a conversation with the Cardinal or whatever, he's
still running. So, yeah, there we go. We need a Da Vinci Code special edition where it's the CG model Tom Hanks from the Polar Express, but his programming is broken, so he randomly animates wrong. It's like, why did they even include a humping motion for this model? It's in a children's film. I don't know, but he's doing it.
He's based on a Second Life model. He has like a transparent, massive cock layer.
Or, oh no, he put on the wrong transformation set. He just turned into Optimus Prime with the truck form.
Penis animation is a train. The cum shot is the smoke coming out of the thing at the front, the engine. Oh,
God. So that's our $1 million.
Thomas had seen all that he could see.
It was time to leave. So there's our $1 billion idea. Feel free to at me.
We'll start a Kickstarter for this project. Whereas, like, 10 companies come at us and are like, guys, you know all of this is copyrighted, right?
No, but we got this really cool idea. What? No?
Oh, did we want to touch on the topic of our episode title?
The YouTuber thing?
Yeah.
God, it's one of those, you know,
shitty people behaving shittily.
Yeah, where basically most of the time it seems like when you've heard of a YouTuber, it's not for good reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's...
It seems like being a successful YouTuber, being a shitty person is like a prerequisite.
Yeah, like a willingness to go low and like cultivate a weird parasocial relationship with your fans, even if they're underage. And, you know, being willing to just say shit and double down, ever be like, oh, hey, actually, I was being a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, without naming names, it's just like, look, there hasn't been a lot of good furry YouTubers as of late, and they keep getting involved in shit. Or at least just being like, hey, you know, your Ink Bunny account sure full of cub porn. What's up with that? you know, that kind of stuff.
It's all a vast liberal conspiracy.
Oh, it totally is. You know, it's this long con where back in 2012, this person who'd never heard of each other was like, I'm going to make an account, and just one day in the future, I will pin it upon somebody else who I do not like and make it so that everything links back to them via black magic. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, look, don't. First of all, go into this conspiratorial, like, oh, no, this is just a long con. They set me up, even though things like, date back years and years and years. It doesn't make much sense. Don't do it.
I'm honestly glad that I don't really know who any of these people are. Well,
and that's the thing. Like, I don't know shit about these people except I hear about the bad ones.
You know, and I watched a few minutes of a clip of one of them, and I'm just like, his voice was just absolutely grating, and I'm just like, how the fuck could people watch this guy bitch about stuff for like 2 hours?
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of time it's always, you know, they got to be all anti-SJW and, you know, internet reactionary bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just feeds into what gets views on YouTube, which is just pretty detrimental to society and fandom in general. Like, I mean, there are good YouTubers out there. Like, you know, ContraPoints does good stuff. Jim Sterling does good stuff. There's people that just do music and are creative. Like Husky by the Geek does really good multi-part electronic guitar mixes where all the parts are played by him. Cool. You know, there's good musicians out there.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a pretty amusing video here like yesterday. It was H Bomber Guy's A Measured Response to the Flat Earth, which is pretty funny.
Oh my God.
Which was a... like a 45-minute video essay that I had on the background where he was like talking about the flat earth YouTubers and just the weird shit that they use to justify saying the earth is flat.
Was it just 45 minutes of screaming? Because that's my only response to flat earthers.
It was a lot of making fun of them and like showing clips of their videos where they make claims like direct flights from like Sydney to South America don't exist. That they're on the thing you can buy tickets for them, but they don't actually exist. It's all like part of the conspiracy that airline companies have fake flights.
Well, I mean, I think everything about the fucking moon landing or going to space is all fake. And anyone that goes up there and is interviewed and said, no, the Earth's round, they're like, well, they just paid that person off.
Yeah. Well, it was also really funny, too, because like he showed videos where they go to say, oh, you know, no, this is just a super fisheye lens, and then showed that they had used the correction, like perspective correction within like their video program, so that at this point it made it look like the horizon was slightly concave because they had gone and they'd fixed it for the purpose of their videos, except they overcorrected it. So it was enlightening in the same way that Last Podcast is enlightening and like it's knowledge that's not useful but still interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, the podcast episodes about the Book of Revelations and then like types of executions, which seems kind of low tier for them to go after, but whatever. Last Podcast.
There's only so many serial killers.
So we're going to talk about drawing and quartering, which is pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it's not a good way to die.
Yeah, not really gold star episodes, but pretty hardcore, yeah.
I've also been, I don't know if I've mentioned this on here, podcast I've recommended to you is called The Dollop. It's two stand-up comedians are doing it. It's an American history comedy podcast where one guy has researched and pulled up some articles and stuff like that and is basically going to tell his friend a story from American history. And his friend has no idea what the topic is. So he'll just start talking and he'll try to follow it along and like he'll be like, have you got it yet? You know who we're talking about? And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. It just depends. But man, I tell you, like, you know, you had a feeling that George H.W. Bush and John McCain were probably shitty people, but you know, we all, you know, sucked their dead dicks once they were dead, and you know, the whole country ground to a halt and had this big mourning thing for both of them. And like, so they did episodes about them, and it's like, wow, like, you don't know, like, how shitty and cheating and lame these fuckers were.
Yeah.
You know, like, you knew they were bad, but holy shit, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's enlightening. Yeah. It's very often quite amusing, but then sometimes when it's something like that, it's like,
motherfuckers,
sobering as hell. Like,
there's one called Behind the Bastards, which is kind of the same thing.
I have heard of that, and I do want to check it out because that sounds, it sounds like it would be interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is like a long running podcast, and like, they were comedians, so I'm sure there are things that they probably said back in the day that wouldn't pass the social justice muster nowadays. But
I mean, how long has it been going?
They're on 300 something episodes.
Oh, man.
So they've been going for quite a while. And I found them very enlightening. Like, there's a lot of good information in there that I didn't have before. And there's the other liberal Democratic California senator. There's the two women in California. I think it is. It's Feinstein. Yeah. Cause Barbara Boxer was the other woman that they were co-serving. And like, some of the crazy shit that Dianne Feinstein did back in the day, like, so the very basics of it was that, like, so San Francisco, even back in the day, is this super fucking liberal city, right? But she wants to appeal more to the center and to more conservative Democrats.
Uh-huh.
So when she's mayor of San Francisco, she puts a fucking Confederate flag up at like City Hall. And I'm not going to remember all the fucking details. And like, this is like right after there's been like a major incident in the African American community. And it is also after Harvey Milk has been assassinated.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he was assassinated around that time.
Yeah. That's how she became mayor. That the mayor, Jim Moscone, was assassinated, and Harvey Milk was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was with the mayor at the time, so he was killed too. So Feinstein became the temporary mayor, and then she won the next mayoral election and was mayor of San Francisco for like 8 years or something like that before moving on to running for senator. But, you know, she put this fucking flag up and a black guy scaled the flagpole and pulled it down, much like that lady did in the Carolinas not too long ago. Yeah. And she put it back up and he took it down again. And she put four times this went through four times and the guy got arrested and thrown in jail. And it's like just the fact that she not just did this and not just doubled down on this, but four fucking times. And this is the problem with like a lot of the older Democratic politicians that are actually, they're not very left at all. They're very center or even a little center right. It's just that the Overton window is fucking shifted so far to the right. But like the other senator somewhere that lost her reelection this year and was being snotty about Ocasio-Cortez saying, I don't know why she's the big fucking deal. And it's like, well, she's the big fucking deal because she won her election this year, you know? And like, this was a person that like voted with the Republicans quite a bit in the past and had, was trying to toe this sort of center line without really doing anything. And it's just, was that McCaskill? That might have been Claire McCaskill.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like the younger generation of people coming in and basically smacking the older establishment Dems around is actually really good. There was that other one, that young guy whose name I'm going to have to pull up.
Uh-huh.
Who is basically, he's from Virginia and was like, look, you know, you want to fix shit up. You know, there's 11 empty homes for every homeless person in this state.
Yeah.
You know, you want to fix shit. let's start worrying about, you know, that kind of stuff.
Was that the person that was quoting the statistic that something like 40% of the food that we produce is wasted? Yeah,
Lee J. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He is a
representative
for Virginia's 50th House District.
Mm-hmm.
And he won his election. And the I'd retweeted a thing for him where it's like, yeah, there are 11 empty houses for every homeless person in Virginia. And 40% of U.S. food production rots while thousands don't know where their next meal will come from. The continued existence of poverty isn't natural. It's a deliberate policy choice made by people in power. Because he was his opponent at the time. This is had tweeted that starting off reports wondering why there's so much poverty is absurd. Poverty is the natural state of human beings.
Oh my God,
maybe
really?
Maybe try focusing on what causes wealth, what creates wealth, instead of just redistributing it. Redistributing
literally, it. You should have thought about it before you were became poor,
yeah.
Basically. Before you decided to be poor. Oh my God.
Why were you born? Why did you decide to be poor when you were born?
God. Ah, fuckers. I don't want to get it too caught up in politics.
But yeah, it was just like this guy.
Yeah. Well, that's,
you know,
good.
And these are, you know, young folks. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's 29.
Uh-huh.
This Lee Carter guy, he is similar around that age as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are people that are younger than us.
Yeah.
They're getting into politics and realizing that they're the ones that are going to have to grab these ancient, dusty ghouls.
Yeah.
And pull the bandages off and fling them into the sunlight. You know,
and like Biden's made some really head ass statements lately. Like, I think he took the air out of his balloon for any kind of like serious thoughts of being a 2020 nominee, because that was on the table. Like, he was considering running, and like he just made some really out of touch. What was it? Oh, it was something like basically, today's generation doesn't have it that hard. We had it hard in the 60s.
Yeah, where it was literally a kids these days kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you had this image of being the cool Camaro-owning uncle guy, and you just shot yourself in the balls.
Yeah.
With the same people that had previously joked about you being the cool uncle.
Yeah, and I think we only did that probably because we didn't look too closely.
Yeah.
At like, because really, you can't... Who has the time to look really closely at what every 70-year-old politician has done for the last 5 decades?
Exactly.
That's why there are websites of people that are paid to actually research this shit.
Exactly.
And, you know, the shit about Biden will come out, especially if he is in the Democratic primary, especially if he has a good challenger from the left. It's going to be like, well, you voted in favor of this bullshit.
I mean, hell, Elizabeth Warren made her thing about saying, yeah, actually, I'm going to run for president. And automatically had Trump attacking her,
mm-hmm.
which only bolsters her numbers, but...
Yeah.
She's...
I mean, fuck Trump. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, everything fucking sucks politically.
I mean, Biden's still going to be a better person than Trump is, so, you
Yeah,
know.
People are like, Biden, Beto 2020, and I'm like, you know what? What the fuck ever. I mean, it would
if
only...
If that was the ticket versus Trump-Pence, I would fucking vote for it. You know, when it comes down to it, it's like, do we allow our country to continue going to wreck and ruin, or do we put a stop in it? And yeah, I don't think Biden's going to move us particularly far left, but it's not going to keep getting worse and worse. And we might actually have a Democrat have a chance to appoint a Supreme Court justice. But this was the problem in 2016. And I mean, people not getting behind Hillary like 110%, you know, it's like, and I don't know how widespread that was, you know, how like a lot of like the whole Bernie Bros sentiment was apparently Russian bots. So this is shit we got to look out for. But yeah, once the primary is over with, we need to support the less evil party. Although let's hope that someone is actually nominated that has, you know, our interests in mind.
Yeah.
Like, people are trying to tear down Beto now, you know, and it's like, I'm really tired of the Democrats get into a circular fucking firing squad so easily. And I want us to move left. I agree with with all the far left positions and stuff like that. But if your perfect candidate doesn't become the nominee, you still need to vote for that person, or you're just shooting yourself in the face.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people will have learned that lesson come 2020.
I sincerely hope
so. I would sincerely fucking hope so, provided we survive that long.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you have to get a gibbering buffoon man baby with brainworms.
And if, you know, if the perfect candidate doesn't get in, you support the less perfect candidate, and then you keep pushing them to make sure that they do the right thing and while they're in office, and you can hopefully gradually make changes.
So we are now past an hour recording. It is now 9:42. We should probably think about wrapping this up. This has been yet another episode of Southpaws. I didn't actually number the episode because I couldn't remember what number we're on at the start of the show.
That's okay. It's been like 100 years since the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, we started back, we recorded this on wax cylinders to begin with, and the distribution process fucking sucked. We had to send it on couriers, and sometimes the couriers got eaten by their horses. I mean, it was some brutal times.
Mm-hmm. The ponies and the Pony Express were feral.
And carnivorous.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was how we could afford to distribute our wax cylinder. I'm trying to think of what they called the damn things back in the day. Phonograph. Phonograph cast.
You know, on vinyl, we'd be skipping. You're listening to do.
And 8 tracks and then tapes and CDs. And now we have the internet, where we can put this on the internet and some people download it for some reason. It's amazing. So,
but you can only download it in wave format, and every episode is like 500 megs.
On dial-up. It's like early episodes of Pop-It.
This is a really fucking weird tangent.
It's fine. It's fine. We're got to get back into the string of things, and it's been a really, really rough
month. Fucking 2019. So
we can't be like, fucking 2019. It's only the third.
No, I know. I'm like, no, I was just more like, it's 2019. Oh, my God. It's like it's a new year. So
we have to start dressing like we're in Blade Runner and or Akira now.
Right. I was going to say, I don't usually make resolutions. So like I started dieting and exercising more in like May of last year, but like I kind of slid a little in December because holiday season, and there's just so much turkey and candy and all this food. So in the new year, I want to get back on my bullshit. And you know, Sarah and I are talking about joining a gym and becoming workout buddies. That'd be cool. Get me out of the house.
Yep.
Start treadmilling.
You know, we're lucky in that we have several options near us.
Yeah. There's like one every fucking intersection, on every corner of the intersection.
There's even a tiny one next to Pizzarella. So you can work out. No, you work out and then you go get your pizza. So you cancel your workout. You cancel it out. You
know? Right. Yeah. But that means that pizza is not going to your love handles.
Yep. Your love grips.
What's a really large version of a handle? I've got those. Okay, well, you can find us on Twitter at SouthPodcast. You can still find us on Tumblr at SouthPodcast.
Yep.
We'll see, because that was a separate account, so we'll see how long that lasts.
We don't post images, so there's no female-presenting nipples, just podcast-presenting ones.
You're like, this podcast logo, we're going to flag it. They better not. That would be really bizarre.
Furries are banned from Tumblr. Oh, no.
Kind of are. But, you can also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpodcast. And you can email us at southpodcast@gmail.com. I think we may have like one email in the can. We'll hit it
next week.
Let's hit that up next week. And that's about it. I am unfortunately not going to FC due to work being very busy in January, but you will be able to find the For Planet team behind a table in, oh my God, just a couple of weeks. FC, it's coming up. Normally, I'd be screaming about Furry Fiesta, but that's not till like the end of March this year.
It's a few months away. Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake. Find me on snouts.online at Savrin. Twitch, Savrin, usual bullshit.
I'm on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. I'm on Mastodon at fuzzwolf.social, I think.
At Mastodon.social?
Mastodon.social, yeah. I don't even fucking remember.
You don't really use it that much.
I'll reply or fave something occasionally. I don't use it a whole lot. I honestly don't really use Twitter that much anymore. I'm mostly like retweeting, or occasionally if someone asks a question, like somebody randomly asked a question about how to do something on an iPhone because they hadn't used one before, and I fucking told them where in settings to look. I mean, I'm not really saying a whole lot on Twitter these days.
I post pictures of Adam.
Yeah. I'm seriously considering trying to... I keep saying that I'm going to try to trim back my social media because I don't know how much I really get out of it anymore. You know?
I browse it to get fresh porn, fresh art. And,
yeah.
Retweeting art and stuff, but then also telling racist grandpas to go to sleep. Yeah, it's like, go to bed, grandma, it's an insult that's not really an insult. It's not like, it's maybe ageist at most, but it's like these old people spitting hot garbage about young kids or kids these days. And it's like, grandpa, go to bed.
Yeah, the whole kids these days thing is like, I mean, I probably fell into that back in the day, like 10 years ago, and I've just come to realize how fucking toxic it is and how just pitting basically random groups of people against each other based on the years they were born within.
It's a really effective way to control people.
It's just another way of like carving us up into groups and setting us at each other's throats. Cause like,
you know,
there were good baby boomers and there were shitty baby boomers and there are shitty millennials. Like you look at fucking Bezos and Elon Musk and they're millennial, the Gen X age, aren't they? They're not that old.
Well, I think there was a thing I saw, like the youngest millennial is now 22.
Right, so and the oldest is like 38.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about adult-ass adults, as you would say.
Yeah.
Fucking Zuckerberg, talk about the shitty millennial. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know. So, yeah, you can be a shitty or a good person in any generation and just ragging on people in general. I'm tired of it.
So we're gonna.
I was hoping to end up on a positive note. Hey, Savrin. So, how was the Spider-Verse movie?
I didn't go see it.
You didn't go see it. Okay, never mind.
Maybe I'll discuss it next week if I get a chance to go see it.
Woo-hoo! I watched the Doctor Who New Year's special.
Was it good?
It was good.
Cool.
And I have good and bad news about that. That was a fun episode. Series 12 isn't coming out until 2020.
Well, hopefully, we'll all survive to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, on that note, good night.
And big books.